Greetings in the precious name of our soon coming Savior and Lord. We're glad to be with you once again today in the Good News Hour to bring you glad tidings of free, full, and present and eternal salvation. We're glad that we can bring to you God's precious, holy, and unerring word. Now I'm going to ask your attention, please, to the epistle of Paul to Titus. This is one of the pastoral epistles. You, of course, recall he wrote personal letters to Timothy as well. But in this interesting little book of only three chapters, we have some very, very exceedingly precious things. Not only do we have a clear statement of the grace of God and what it brings, but we have also what accompanies that salvation. And I'd like to say maybe a little of both today if the time does not run out. So in that case, of course, we'd have something for saints and something for those who are still strangers to grace and to God. Now these are days when as Christians we need to be well grounded and well founded too on the Word of God. You see, there's a very striking verse away over in the book of the Psalms, the 11th Psalm, and about verse 3. In fact, it's a question that's asked there, and it says, "If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do?" And so we see foundations crumbling today around us on every hand. We see things are becoming now shaky and various places and spheres that we never expected to see give way. Of course, if we know the Word of God, then we're sure that there is the what is called a general shake-up, because everything that's movable is to be shaken and will eventually pass away. But there is, however, a sure and a solid foundation that the stresses and pressures of time can never in any sense effect. And the one thing that is sure is the Word of God. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my Word shall not pass away. God's Word will endure forever and forever. And while we are not interested in and we do not believe especially in the perseverance of the saints, we certainly believe in the preservation of the saints, that all who trust Him are safely and most surely kept. Now, the epistle of Paul to Titus then, and we'll begin our reading at verse 11, which says, "The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men." Or one translation puts it like this, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation unto all men hath appeared." Thank God for the appearing of the grace of God. You see, the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Now, in verse 12, the apostle proceeds to state further that this grace, the grace that brings salvation, the grace that delivers, the grace that saves from sin's penalty, does even more than that. So he says, "Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world." And then verse 13, "Looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works." These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. "Let no man despise thy youth." Now, the apostle in writing to Timothy, of course, it was a special message for a people who had been reached and saved by the grace of God, but their lives didn't seem to correspond with what they had professed. And so the apostle in writing to his son Timothy, and of course Titus, and Titus in turn, was to communicate this message to these saints who were apparently, some of them, many of them saved, but their habits were not on a par with their profession. They were spoken of, he writes about them, as lazy gluttons. And of course, that certainly is not good and shouldn't characterize a child of God. If anyone should be on his toes in these eventful days, when the days of golden opportunity are fast running out, and we never know when we may be shouted from this scene, and it will be our last day of service for him, our last opportunity of winning souls to the Savior. My, how we ought to be up and doing, and zealous, as he tells us too, zealous for him and zealous of good works. Now, in this little section that I read you, that is verses 11 and 12 and 13, there are three distinct appearings spoken of. Now, those of you who are acquainted with your Bible will remember, and if I mistake not, we have already pointed these out in previous broadcasts to you and may take them up again because they're vital. It's truth that everybody should know. In Hebrews chapter 9, we also have three appearings there, three appearings of our Lord Jesus Christ. But now in Titus chapter 3, verse 2, chapter 2, verses 11 and 12 and 13, we have three appearings as well. First appearing is in verse 11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation. In other words, his appearing was in grace, and his appearing to die, to suffer, to pay sin's penalty, to take the place of the guilty and of the lost. Then in verse 12, teaching us the denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Now, this is the present appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. And, of course, he appears as seen in the lives of his children here below. Now, we speak advisedly when we say his children. All are not, certainly all are not children of the living God. Those who have been born of his Holy Spirit, and they are his, they are Christ's. And the life of Christ is to be seen manifested in the lives of all true believers. And so, the Lord Jesus, while it is true he is Lord in Christ, now exalted to the right hand of God the Father, he also appears here in this world in the lives of his own dear children. And I tell you, it's a marvelous thing to be saved. Surely nothing could compare with that. And two, nothing could compare with the opportunity of being able to witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, to live for him here below. And I am just wondering, as I address you today, if the life of Christ is being manifested, if the life of Christ is being seen in you. Now, really, the only light that the world sees today is the light of Christ as displayed in Christians. We must show the kingdom of God. It's one thing to be a child of God. It's one thing to know these blessed and these sublime truths that revolutionize one's whole being. But you know, it isn't enough to know these things and to enjoy them in my own heart and in my own soul and then just sort of, so to speak, tuck them away and keep them to myself. It is my business, it is my privilege, it is my responsibility to make known the riches of his grace, the salvation of God to those that are perishing. Now, I shall finally point out his future appearing. Yes, thank God he appeared once to put away sin, but he has promised another appearing, and that you would find in verse 13, which says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Oh, wouldn't it be wonderful if he appeared today? Every heart that's true to him, every soul that's really clearly saved and enjoying present salvation would say, even so, come, Lord Jesus. We're waiting for you. We're expecting you. And then, you know, there's a tone of sadness too, and a little, and surely a great degree of sorrow fills our heart as we think of others round about us who aren't ready and who could not say, even so, Lord Jesus Christ, because if He came today, He would attract only those to Himself who are clearly born again. Are you ready? Oh, say, will you be ready when Jesus comes? Now, if you aren't ready, turn your eyes to the blessed Son of God. Receive Him today, and then, blessed be His name, you'd be amongst that company of whom it said, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Oh, He's coming, and it may be today. Wonder of wonders. And you could be ready by trusting Him as your own personal Savior. Now, thank you, friends, for giving us a few moments of your precious time. Now, we're waiting to hear from you. We believe that we have something of present, vital, and of eternal importance. And should there be questions disturbing you with relationship to God and eternal matters, we believe that by the help of God we can supply these answers. Don't pass it up. This is your day of golden opportunity. The Savior's knocking at the heart's door. Bid Him enter in. Do it today. This address will reach us. Good News Hour, 419 Smith Street, Atchison, Kansas. In the meantime, may you be abundantly blessed of our God as our daily prayer in your behalf.